Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as Janie and I talk about God's promise to fill those who seek after Him. In these uncertain times, it is important for Christians to be a beacon of hope to those around us, for us to be salt and light. But in order for us to shine, we must first be filled ourselves. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So join in the conversation as we find how blessed are those who hunger and thirst. This week, I would like to start us off in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I think that many times as believers, in not knowing our position in Christ, which we have talked about extensively, knowing that we are secure in our position in Christ, and then not understanding why God allows certain things in our lives, why the hardships and why the struggles, and the prayers that we pray sometimes are prayed from a standpoint that we are blessed. And so then when God doesn't answer the way we think He should answer, then we get really confused about our position in Christ.
Yes.
So that's kind of a vicious circle that we go through, isn't it?
It is. And again, I don't know that there is a lot of benefit in trying to tear down the walls of where we have been as much to where we are today and what do we want to do about it. And a lot of times when the Lord has to reveal all of whom He is and the justice of God can cause us some real confusion, can cause us some doubt and perplexity. God says with the same emphasis in His word to come unto me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says, be ye holy for I am holy in many different scripture passages. And yet I don't know about you, Sharon, but I was not taught the holiness of God so much as I was taught to know the salvation and then go and evangelize.
Yeah, it really does seem to be get saved and then jump into service.
And the Lord can use anything to draw people. He used a dumb donkey to speak at one point in time.
Right.
And the people heard through a dumb donkey when they wouldn't hear through the prophets. So sometimes when we see things that happen, how did that ever happen? Well, that's the sovereignty of God and His grace. But that doesn't mean that we can get by with living a carnal lifestyle or staying in simplicity, which was happening in the illustrations in Hebrews. They wanted to stay with the elementary doctrines of Christianity.
Right.
And Paul had to reprove them of why they wanted to just keep it to the basics and not really grow.
Not to dig in and...
And not, yes. And that was one reason that the Lord had to speak to them in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. He was telling them, you are going to need to find true rest, not in staying in the simplicity of salvation, but moving on. And when you hear this, there is a need for you to enter into my rest. And to enter into God's rest means we have ceased from striving to have God's will my way.
Okay.
That we will listen to what He says and we will trust Him to enter into His being sufficient for our lives. And many times we can run into complications, as we will probably, every time we talk, Sharon, we will probably reiterate some of the complications of sin, because sin has a definite, and carnality has a definite patterns, even though they may be expressed differently. And so one of the patterns that Hebrews was having was to know what is real for hardness of heart and what is not real. And in
what do you mean by that?
Well, how do we eventually attain to the calling that God has given us? And we have in Hebrews 6, we have where the writer, most people think it's Paul, says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. That's a nice way of saying grow up.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But in Hebrews 6:10, the writer establishes common ground for what he wants to affirm about the Hebrew Christians, because they definitely were showing a new birth. They were showing evidences of a new birth. All right.
Okay.
And so he says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, his character, his power, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So what was happening here, they were setting a good foundation, but then they weren't wanting to build on that foundation. They were just wanting to hang out where it was comfortable. And so there are certain words here in verses 1 through 6 that establish the tenets of what the writer was seeing. He saw that they had been enlightened with knowledge.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
He saw that they had tasted of the heavenly gift. He saw that they were partakers of the Holy Spirit. He saw that they had tasted the Word of God, and that they had known the powers of ages to come. All signs that there was some real life in these people. But they were choosing to not live what they had been given and what had been evidenced. Somewhere they had turned aside.
Okay, maybe gotten a little comfortable and didn't want to move out of their comfort zone, maybe?
That would be certainly practical, and I think that could be applied this very day.
Okay.
Now, there are other great theologians that love the Lord and have studied, and when I speak of a theologian, I'm talking about someone who knows the languages.
Like the Greek and Hebrew.
And Aramaic and whatever else, okay. Yes, that the scriptures may have been written in, and the basic tenets of the Word of God given in purity when the Lord gave it to those people that wrote it down.
Okay.
All right? Now, we can take those very same things that I said, and now I'm going to give you a twist to them. Yes, they had been enlightened, but not from the heart. They had a head knowledge understanding.
Okay.
They had tasted of the heavenly gift, but they had not eaten in the full meal of the heavenly gift.
Okay.
They had been partakers of the Holy Spirit. If you are living on planet Earth, you're going to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit around you in other believers and just in creation. And the Holy Spirit's evidence is made because he says that he is drawing people, so you see how he is working. But being a partaker, some say, is not being a possessor of the Holy Spirit. And then they've tasted of the Word of God, but they've not made it their regular diet, and it's not a controlling force for the nutrition for them to grow.
Okay.
And then they've known the powers of the ages to come. They saw the working of the Holy Spirit, but it didn't lead their heart to a true confession of a first love. And so these people say that basically this was an unbeliever looking like a believer, but never really having true acceptance of Jesus Christ. So there's two different
views. So they kind of chameleoned themselves into the church.
Yes, that's an excellent word that you just said. They kind of had that chameleon, able to adapt, mm-hmm. and we don't know what all.
No, they knew all the right words to say to look the part.
And they may have had their own motives and agenda of why they were in the church. They may have had their own desire to make converts unto themselves rather than converts unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So, Sharon, when great theologians that will know more than what you and I ever will until we see Jesus Christ face to face have strong disagreements on this passage. And the reason that I wanted to bring it out today is, regardless of which view you're choosing to believe, you can see where it brings you. And it can bring you to a passage that is way over in the Old Testament. But if I can pop over there for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
In Amos 8, 11, and 12.
I've got it open, Janie. Okay. You want me to read it?
Yes.
"Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirsty for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it."
Now, Sharon, that is an Old Testament story, mm-hmm. a truth, I believe, that actually happened. And we're to learn from Old Testament examples. All right, okay. We do have the New Testament for the body of Christ, for the church, but all scripture is given and is profitable for learning and for instruction. And here is the sadness of those verses that you just read. This is not a famine for food. This is not a need for having your needs met because of a plague that has descended down. This hearing or not hearing God's word is not that the word of God's not available. It will be available and was available, but people did not want to listen or hear about it. Okay. So stop and think today in the times that we're living right now. People do not want the word of God.
But Janie, this says, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it.
Sharon, to establish the sequence of how this came about, let's go to Isaiah 29:9-10. And would you read that for us?
Okay. "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and seers has he covered."
Sharon, what's happened is the people have wanted God's will their way.
Okay.
And they were living with themselves being their final authority as to how they wanted to live, quote unquote, for God. God could not allow that to continue, and they would not repent. They would not seek him the way the Lord had told them to. So the Lord says, I am going to have to cause you to reap what you've sown. And so he gives this exhortation, pause and wonder, blind yourself and be blind. You're choosing this. You're drunk, but not with wine. And when they speak of drunkenness, it's like when you're drunk, you're totally controlled by the wine. So this is saying, stop and think, people. You are blinding yourselves. And you're acting like drunkards because you're totally controlled with the way you want to serve me and be mm-hmm. for me. You stagger like a drunkard, but that's a result of what you have chosen. In other words, the principle of sowing and reaping is playing out in their lives. And then the Lord has said, now, I have given you a spirit of deep sleep. And God says, and has closed your eyes. Namely, the prophets and the seers are the ones that have caused you to result in this blindness. In other words, the spiritual leaders of that day were not leading.
Well, doesn't it say in Jeremiah, I mean, at one place I remember where the prophets that had prophesied, the Lord said one thing and Jeremiah came back and said, no, that is not true.
That's right. And he was persecuted in this day that we're living in today, thousands of years later. He was persecuted for still holding to the truth, Jeremiah was. And I see that happening in areas of our world today. And that does not exclude the U.S. to where we have been told just about God's blessings. And that's been the focus. But we have wanted to implement those our way.
Right.
And then when someone talks about the responsibility and the commandments of tearing down strongholds, of finding out your heart and guarding your heart for knowing God's will, we don't want it.
Well, Janie, we haven't even heard that. We have not heard the responsibility back on you and the warnings to make sure you have your heart right.
They are out there. But they are not the popular doctrine. You know, we cannot say no one is teaching the truth,
right?
Because I do hear people, but it is not the it's not the popular message that you find in social media. But we need to have the body of Christ be living in one mind and one accord. And there's so much divisiveness in the current doctrines that it has created divisions, and people have a tendency to want to follow what is the easiest to accept and do.
Right.
And now we're back into Hebrews, where that was where the Hebrew writer was having to say, don't just stay with the elementary things that you found at salvation. You're to grow and you're to mature, and that's going to take some difficulties. But when God says you don't want my word, then I'll take my word back. Do you remember the time many decades ago when we decided to vote God out of school and prayer, and then we changed how we got a hold of our textbooks on how we taught our children in school? And then, of course, we have the abortion issue. And the Lord says, okay, if you don't want me, I'm not going to break your arm and force myself upon you. I will let you be lulled into your own sleep, your own blindness, your own destruction.
Right.
So, again, going back to Hebrews and the two opinions that we can see from theologians, we don't know which one is the actual what the writer was trying to convey. But we know that either way results in the Lord saying, I'm not going to break your arm.
Right.
And so that's what we're needing to say, and knowing that sometimes we will not know exactly the deep meaning of the scripture, but the scripture will always give us indication of where we need to be warned and where we need to be corrected. And Sharon, this is an afterthought, but it is essential. 2 Peter, the first chapter, says that we have been given the divine promises that we might be able to walk according to how the Lord wants us to walk. And then it gives a very practical step-by-step attributes, character, that we need to pursue. So the Lord doesn't come in with some great big mystery and just dump it in your lap and say, you guys go figure it out.
Right, yeah.
He is a God that is practical in how he seeks to tell us how to live for him. But you know what? If we don't have a heart hunger, and we say this every week, and we will probably continue to say it every week, Sharon, if you don't have a heart hunger for the Lord himself.
Right. Him and him alone.
Him and him alone. And I believe that's where this nation is coming to make a choice. Will we take God Almighty and his son, Jesus Christ, as he reigns to intercede for us today? If he was to say, I'm going to promise you your eternal security. I'm going to promise you that you can be with me forever. But right now, I am removing your benefit package.
Yeah.
You're not going to have the peace that I can give you. You're not going to have the joy. Now, he commands it. He commands it. But what do you do with a rebellious child that says, I'm going to rebel against you no matter what? You have to change your structure of how you're dealing with them, don't you?
And if you think about it, the prodigal son did that to his father. I'm not going to accept the way I have to live under your roof. Give me my inheritance. I'm leaving with it. I'm going to live the way I want to. And he did.
And it brought him up to an unexpected surprise, didn't it?
Yes.
He was in the hog pen eating the husk with the hogs.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty, did the father just forget about that prodigal son while he was out there blowing his own inheritance? Or did the father have a watchful eye for hoping that his son would one day come to his senses by however God Almighty wanted it and return him? And the key little word that is in that parable is when it says, and the father, seeing the son a long way off, ran to greet him. That should bring such joy to anybody who is struggling today, saying, I know I'm in the wilderness. I just don't know how to get out. I know my attitude is wrong, but I don't know what to do. The father's looking at the heart.
Yeah.
And when the father, our Father, Heavenly Father, sees that heart wanting to return, he will be there faster than a bullet train or anything else that you could, in a nanosecond or whatever that would be, all right? And then here is the other beauty of that, and that is the prodigal came home and just wanted to have the security of being in the family. He never expected to be made a full-fledged son. He was just wanting to be adopted as a servant. He just wanted to have a place that was secure, a place that was consistent, a place that would keep him from the destruction.
Janie, get me out of hell and into heaven. Right? Well, that's the expectation, but God has so much more for us.
And so what does he do? He goes and kills the fatted calf, which was to be a great celebration, and restored him to full sonship.
Right.
But now, here was the son who didn't go out and squander his inheritance, who stayed there and worked. He had been faithful by his performance. And when that prodigal son came back and was given grace with total sonship, it angered him. Wow. Was God unjust to allow that to happen? Or did God's grace of his sufficiency of giving us total forgiveness, when our hearts are made right before him, we get everything that we lost. God says in Romans 8:13 that we can't lose what he has given us when we confess, repent, and are restored. All right? So that should bring joy to anyone's heart today that's struggling. But is that not a beautiful picture of how the Lord, a long way off, sees our hearts, draws us?
Yeah, that is such a beautiful picture of how God displays his grace and allows us to return when we are afar off, that he will grab a hold of us and give us grace.
And give us full sonship.
All right, Janie, well, that's all the time we have for today. Do you want to close us in prayer?
Let's just say, Father, we rejoice in your provisions. Help us to see that all things are by you, through you, to you, and for you, and that God is good all the time, no matter what the circumstances may appear for a time. Father, deepen our trust in you, and yet, Father, as you deepen it, hold on to us tightly so that we don't fail in our fears. We praise you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHarts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.